Hi there, listener. Before we dive in, I want you to know that this podcast is AI generated. It's crafted from the topics and principles shared in the Bye Bye Panic Anxiety Recovery Program. And while AI helps bring this content to life, the recovery tools and insights remain rooted in the principles that have helped so many people overcome their symptoms for good. Enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to unpack complex topics and really bring you the insights that matter. Today we're diving into something that, well, it touches so many lives, yet often leaves people feeling incredibly alone. Social anxiety. If you've ever felt like your world has kind of shrunk and your home becomes, you know, the only place you feel properly safe.
Yeah.
Or if just thinking about a social event feels like this huge, impossible mountain to climb. You know, the feeling I'm talking about.
Absolutely. That heavy blanket, sort of.
Exactly. It stops you connecting, stops you enjoying things you might actually deep down want to do. So the big question we're tackling is, how do people actually move from, like, avoiding everything to really getting their social lives back, especially when they're battling such intense anxiety?
And that's exactly what we're aiming for in this deep dive. We've looked at some really powerful insights.
Yeah.
Especially from someone who's actually walked that path themselves. And our goal here is to uncover practical strategies, maybe shift perspectives a little to help you find some genuine hope and, you know, figure out some real steps you can take on that journey back to your social life. We're focusing on simple, actionable stuff, easy to grasp.
Okay. Simple and actionable sounds good. So let's get into this journey. Our deep dive uncovered, well, a really crucial first step, maybe a surprising one. Before you even think about heading back to parties or gatherings, there's this key question. Are you actually right now on the path of recovery? And this isn't just like a casual thought. It's fundamental because trying to force yourself back into things without that foundation.
Yeah, it can backfire badly.
Right. It can lead to more panic, feeling defeated and thinking, see, I'll never be myself again. It just reinforces the fear.
That's such a critical point because as our source material highlights, you might go to something, have a really tough time with anxiety and then retreat, which just hammers home that feeling of, I can't do this.
Okay.
So what does it actually mean to be on the recovery journey here? Our exploration pointed to three key things, like indicators.
Okay, what are they?
First, you need to get a clear understanding of why the symptoms are happening, why the racing heart, the shaky hands, all that. Often it's because your nervous system has become hypersensitive, like maybe after hitting a certain stress threshold.
Like a smoke detector that's way too sensitive.
Exactly like that. It goes off for tiny things, no real danger. So learning how to gently desensitize that system is step one. It's fundamental to dialing down the symptoms.
That makes sense.
Second, it's not just about knowing why. You need to be actively learning and, more importantly, practicing ways to respond when those symptoms kick in.
So not just reading about it, but actually doing something.
Right. Using techniques maybe like mindful breathing or grounding yourself or shifting your focus away from the physical feelings, actively applying them. It's like training a muscle. You have to work it consistently.
Yep.
And third, and this is huge, it's not a quick fix. There's no magic pill.
Right. I think everyone wishes there was.
No, we all. But it's about doing this work consistently, day in, day out, week after week, for, as the source put it, long enough for real change to happen in your nervous system. That patient, steady groundwork, it's absolutely vital before you just try to, you know, white knuckle it through a social event, hoping for the best.
Okay, that foundation makes total sense. But even with that in place, actually going, that effort involved, our deep dive shared this really powerful personal story about that exact struggle, you know, feeling like leaving the house is climbing Mount Everest.
Yeah, that analogy really hits home for a lot of people.
The person described waking up with panic attacks, feeling just exhausted before the day even started. They didn't want to go out. They just wanted to rest. You know,
understandably, the fatigue that comes with anxiety is immense.
But they push through. They ask themselves this really simple question. What would I have done before the anxiety?
Ah, okay. Connecting back to that past self.
Exactly. That version of them before all this would have just gone out, probably had a good time. So they decided to do that, even though every part of them screamed no.
Wow, that takes courage.
It really does. And here's the bit I found genuinely transformative from our deep dive. They found out you won't always have fun, especially not at first. And that's okay, like completely fine.
Yes, that is such a crucial piece of wisdom. The real purpose of going, especially early on, isn't about chasing fun.
Which is what most people think socializing is for.
Right, but when you're in recovery, the goal shifts. It's about making an active, conscious choice. I am not letting anxiety run my life anymore. If you happen to enjoy yourself, great, bonus. But if you feel kind of neutral or even a bit uncomfortable, that's okay too.
So the win isn't having fun, the win is just going.
Precisely. The confidence, the self-esteem you get from making that choice, from showing up despite how you feel, that's far more monumental, far more lasting than whether you had a blast in that specific moment. It's you proving to yourself, I'm in charge here, not the anxiety.
Okay, I see.
And the consistency is just paramount. Our insights really stress this. Keep going out week after week, month after month, even if it feels neutral, even if you're not thrilled about it. That consistent action, that's what builds the new pathways. It literally rewires your brain's response over time.
It leads into that core idea you mentioned.
Yes, the action before feeling concept. It's so central. A really common mistake, totally understandable, is waiting until you feel like doing something fun before you do it.
Yeah, I'll go when I feel better or when I'm less anxious.
Exactly. But in this recovery process, you often have to flip it. You focus on living, on taking the action first, even if it's uncomfortable. And the positive feelings, the enjoyment, that tends to come later as a result of that consistent effort.
Can you give an example of how that plays out?
Sure. Think about maybe starting a new hobby or even just going to a family thing you weren't looking forward to. You drag yourself there, and maybe it's okay. Maybe parts are even good. And afterwards, you look back and think, wow, I'm actually really glad I did that.
Yeah, that feeling of accomplishment.
Exactly. It creates this powerful sense of, I did it. Almost like a little high. It makes you think, huh, what else could I maybe do? This action before feeling approach, that's what paves the path to long-term freedom. It lets genuine enjoyment creep back in naturally instead of being forced.
That's a huge shift in thinking. Action before feeling. Okay, now let's tackle another big one. A massive hurdle for so many. Worrying what other people are thinking.
Oh, yes. The fear of judgment.
That fear that people can somehow see your anxiety, or they'll think you're weird or too quiet or awkward, feeling like you have to put on a performance.
Yeah, be bubbly when you don't feel bubbly.
Right. And our deep dive had some really liberating things to say about this, didn't it?
Really did. This fear, this constant checking, how am I coming across? It's exhausting. But the guidance is clear. Don't chase joy. Don't pretend. Be congruent with yourself. That was the phrase used.
Congruent with yourself. What does that mean practically?
It just means letting your outside sort of match your inside authentically. If you're not feeling amazing, if you're a bit quiet that day, that is perfectly okay. The aim isn't to be the life of the party. It's just to be polite, be nice, engage in a way that feels natural to you in that moment. No masks.
Okay, so no forcing it.
No forcing it. And a really powerful question the source material prompts is, who truly cares?
Ooh.
Seriously, who really cares if someone thinks you're a bit anxious or quiet? When you really think about it, most people are wrapped up in their own stuff. They're not analyzing your every move.
That's probably true, actually. We assume everyone's watching us.
We do. And a massive part of recovery is learning to distinguish what you can control, like how you respond to your feelings, how you choose to act, versus what you absolutely cannot control, like what pops into someone else's head about you. Trying to manage their thoughts, it's impossible. A losing game.
So letting go of controlling others' perceptions.
Exactly. And this ties directly into self-respect, which our deep dive highlighted powerfully. Your own values, your integrity, how you see yourself, that has to be more important than what some random person might think for a fleeting second. If you're always putting others' potential opinions above your own authenticity, your own well-being, you're doing yourself a massive disservice. You're undermining your own worth.
Prioritizing your own integrity over needing external validation.
Yes. And here's the interesting outcome. When you act in line with your values, when you show up as yourself authentically, even if you're quiet, even if you're clearly having an off day, but you're still there being decent, people tend to respect that on a deeper level.
Really? Why is that?
They see someone being true to themselves, someone doing what they need to do without apologizing for it or pretending. And that kind of authenticity, that courage, it earns a unique kind of respect. It's more powerful than trying to be a people pleaser, which often doesn't garner genuine respect anyway. Living your truth shines through.
Wow. Okay. Be congruent, focus on what you can control, value self-respect over others' opinions. That's quite profound.
It really shifts the focus inward, doesn't it? So yeah, we've covered a really hopeful path today, I think. Moving from feeling trapped by social anxiety to actively, genuinely taking back your social life. The core message that came through so clearly from our deep dive is about that consistency in action, showing up even when it's hard, and prioritizing your own well-being, your self-respect, over chasing immediate good feelings or worrying about judgments. That's the key to lasting freedom.
It really feels like it is. Not about perfection, but those small, consistent steps,
right?
Building on each other. That's such a powerful takeaway. Really offers hope, I think.
Yeah.
So for you listening right now, maybe just consider this. What's one small, actionable step you could take this week? Something based on that idea of self-respect, focusing on the action itself, not the outcome or the feeling. What could that look like for you? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just a short walk outside. Maybe texting one friend you trust. Maybe deciding to go with that thing, but telling yourself up front, it's okay if I don't have fun. I'm just going for me.
It's about that brave choice to just engage, right? One small step. And it is a journey. It's deeply personal. And while we've shared these insights today, please remember you really don't have to do this all alone.
That's important.
Yeah. Getting ongoing guidance, finding support, maybe a therapist, a group, trusted resources that can be such a vital part of healing for so many. We really hope this deep dive gives you some inspiration, helps you embrace that next step, whatever it is for you, with some renewed hope and with the confidence that, you know, real freedom really is possible. It's within reach.